Media app.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. The bipartisan Senate effort to reform the nation's asylum, detention, and deportation laws has been filibustered by Republicans. Democratic Senator Chris Coons.
I came to serve in the Senate because it's a serious place where people want to solve problems and help make the world better. A day like today makes it hard to believe in that.
Congress now facing whether to set aside the border provisions in order to provide funding for Ukraine, Israel, and Taiwan. In Israel, Secretary of State Antony Blinken striking a sharp contrast to Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu's outright rejection of a ceasefire and hostage return agreement proposed by the U.S., Egypt, and Qatar.
While there are some clear non-starters in Hamas's response, we do think it creates space for agreement to be reached.
Blinken also said there needs to be a clear and credible pathway to a Palestinian state. A missing military helicopter has been located in the mountains of Southern California, waiting on word of the five Marines on board. This is ABC News.
Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. President Biden and Donald Trump are tied in Wisconsin in the latest Marquette University Law School poll. They're getting 49% each among registered voters in a head-to-head matchup. Trump has a one-point lead among likely voters. Trump's lead gets wider when pollsters ask about a five-way race with third-party candidates. A Republican bill aims to ban so-called loyalty oaths at Wisconsin state universities and technical colleges. The bill's author is Representative Clint Moses. He says the target is diversity, equity, and inclusion.
It would do away with all DEI on our campuses altogether. So I know the UW had submitted written testimony, and they'll say it's not happening, and this bill takes care of it once and for all and eliminates it from our universities.
The bill got a hearing yesterday. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
For 1490 The Eagle WLCX, I'm Jimmy Kuska.
A school in Holman went into lockdown yesterday after multiple gunshots were heard nearby. Prairie View Elementary School was locked down in search after calls came in reporting 4 to 5 gunshots in the area. The shots were fired by a man outside of city limits who was shooting at a mound of dirt in his backyard. No threats were made to the school and no one at the school was in danger, the La Crosse County Sheriff's Office said. The Sheriff's Office is referring the man who fired the shots to the DA's office for potential charges. The La Crosse School Board will likely be putting its school consolidation decision on November ballots. The district is facing a $3.5 million budget shortfall and intends to move two of its existing elementary schools into one new facility. The two scenarios the board is debating would be closing Hinchin or Emerson Elementary, as well as Spence. In either case, a new school would be on the ballot this fall. The board said it could decide as soon as in 2 weeks and plans on having the referendum question ready by April.
For WLCX, I'm Jimmy Kuska.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
I'm Trigvi Olsen. Steven from Green Bay. Go ahead.
The city of Green Bay is one of the best places in Wisconsin to live. Plenty of people that are Wisconsin nice.
Totally agree. Green Bay is kind of swing territory between the two parties, but people in Green Bay work together. I mean, people aren't asking themselves, am I wearing a red hat or a blue hat? They're wearing green and gold hats.
The Todd Allbaugh Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
The Bucks lose in Phoenix. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks lost 114-106 to the Phoenix Suns. Giannis Antetokounmpo scored 34 points, but the team was shorthanded. Damian Lillard out with a sore ankle. Forward Chris Middleton left the game early with an ankle injury. Center Brooke Lopez out for personal reasons. Doc Rivers after the loss.
I thought we fought, hung in there. You knew at some point, you just felt at some point we wouldn't have enough offense on the floor.
Later, Rivers' press conference was interrupted.
Coach, I wanted to ask you too, like the Phoenix Suns, they kind of had some injury problems early in this season too, and they're looking a little bit fully more healthy now.
Fire alarm, we got to go, man. I'm joking.
Turns out it wasn't a fire, just an alarm on a battery. College hoops, the Badgers are in Michigan to play the Wolverines. NFL, the Packers' new linebackers coach is Anthony Campanile. He spent the last 4 seasons with the Miami Dolphins. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
All
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Mostly cloudy today, but still very warm. We've got breezy winds out of the south gusting up to 25 miles per hour, pumping in high temperatures reaching the mid-50s. Record highs for today are 54 degrees, set back in 1878. Currently, it's 48.
You know, I hope this is the best hour of your life. I'll tell you that. The Cripes Cast, folks.
Comedian Mary Mack.
He's noticed a very sizable increase on people off the lake coming onto our lake to fish it. You don't want everything to be popular and known about. That seems to be the way I also approach my comedy, Charlie. I think there's a theme.
Cripes Cast every Saturday and Sunday at noon across Civic Media and on the Civic Media app.
Hey everybody, it's Todd Allwald. Noon to 3 on Thursday, our guest is Keegan Kelly from Crack.com. Obscure sitcoms right here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Soaring from high above Holman and UW La Crosse, this is the talk of La Crosse. Eagle 1490. The Devil's Advocates Radio Show is broadcast under a time brokerage agreement between Devil Radio and Civic Media, Inc. Some portions of this program may be pre-recorded. Warning! You're about to listen to the greatest radio show ever, and due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. Now live from the Civic Media Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning, welcome to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
And now, here's your hosts, Dom and Crute.
Welcome to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Halfway home, Dom. Wednesday, but I'm calling this the biggest loser hump day edition. Welcome to it, my friend.
Happy hump day to you, Crudy. Nate, good to see you. Thank you for your hard work always. And our fair audience, welcome to the Devil's Advocates. It is a political party, and we're going to have a great show today.
You're a winner just for tuning in, because we got some fine guests, and we got some big headlines. First of all, SCOTUS, tomorrow, the ballot eligibility challenge of Donald Trump, starting with Colorado. SCOTUS is taking up oral arguments tomorrow, Dom. If Trump is blocked from being on the ballot, I think he's going to lose. So
I think so. A big loser.
We're going to invite, and in fact have invited, and he's accepted, such a gracious man, our friend, former U.S. Attorney James Entel, coming for the happy hour. Looking forward to that. We'll talk about the SCOTUS and many of the other legal cases surrounding the former president. Something of a loser, I would say, Don. But anyways, not James Entel, Trump. Also, new Marquette University Law School polling. It's out today. Don, always love when the polling comes out, because then we have the polling master, pollster extraordinaire, Charles Franklin. Why didn't I look at the notes? I know who's coming. Charles Franklin, pollster extraordinaire, Marquette University Law School poll. That's the gold standard we perceive. And I'll just give you the top line, folks. Here in the state of Wisconsin, within the margin of error, Biden. He's got like 2 points on Trump. Biden's up on Trump very, very narrowly. And I thought I saw Dom, and we'll verify this with Charles Franklin, the least popular politician in the state of Wisconsin right now, I think at negative 32, Robin Foss, Speaker of the Assembly. I will verify these numbers, Don, but I thought it was like 17% approve and like 49% disapprove.
A big chunk of people don't know who he is or don't know enough about him to render an opinion, which is really shocking to me, because the guy's the longest serving assembly speaker in the state of Wisconsin's history. You think you'd know who's at least partially responsible for some of the very bad governance we've been living under for the last 15 years.
Robin Loss, Robin Voss, you might be the biggest loser. But Dom, I want to tell you, I'm on the road. It's the For the Love of Democracy Tour 2024. Thank you, Chad's Design Build. Chad's being our fine sponsor partner in this all spring and summer long endeavor. It's going through the conventions this summer, but right now I'm in Las Vegas. And Dom, I'm here to celebrate the glorious primary victory of President Joe Biden in Nevada last night. Joe killed it, buddy.
He killed it, man.
89.3% of the vote Joe Biden pulled down in the Democratic presidential primary, and he had over 100,000 votes last I saw, Dom, and he beat Dean Phillips.
New York Times reporting 98,358 votes, according to the Times.
I'm rounding up to 100,000.
All right.
Calling that 100,000. You know, because it makes a nice round number in my head. Joe had like 100,000 votes. Here in Las Vegas, you may not know this, but this city, and maybe it's the fact that it's on Pacific time, 2 hours behind the Central time, but this city runs a little later than most cities.
Yeah,
you know, I try to go out and get something to eat in Middleton after 8 o'clock. You can't do so, right? Well, I'm telling you from personal experience, very few restaurants open past 8 o'clock in Middleton on a Tuesday night. Not a problem here in Vegas. I did find dining accommodations and all that stuff, Dom. But so many of the people must work in the service industry. The local news here is at 11 o'clock Pacific time. That's 1 o'clock a.m. Central time. I saw the news last night. I'm staying up waiting for the late results last night in Nevada. And I had to wait up till 1 o'clock in the morning because, you know, I just traveled yesterday. I'm still on Central time in my brain and my body. So I was up till 1 a.m. just to get to the results. And it was a glorious victory for Joe Biden. Showed his strength here. You see Donald Trump pulling 89% anywhere yet? No.
No, not yet. Not yet. Crudy, also, again, the Nevada Democratic primary, Joe Biden, 89.3%. None of these candidates, remember, you can go and vote for none of these candidates. In the Democratic primary, none of these candidates got just under 6% of the vote. And coming in third, Marianne Williamson capturing 2.9% of the Democrats in Nevada.
A stronger showing than Dean Phillips. He was excluded from the ballot. Or was he on the ballot?
He was not on the ballot. Nope.
Well, then he got a 0.0.
0.0.
Much like Scott Walker. That was his final polling number before he left the race ingloriously, the former governor of the state of Wisconsin. But, Dom, here's the other interesting part. The Republicans held a primary last night. And as I pointed out to you, only one notable candidate on the ballot, Nikki Haley. No real competition except from the line, none of these candidates. I mean, technically, you could go out and vote against Nikki Haley as none of these candidates. But who would get up off their couch on a Tuesday in Las Vegas where most people don't even start their workday till afternoon or evening? Who's going to go vote in a primary for none of the above? Well, Dom, about 44,000 people last night in Nevada voted none of these candidates, technically. It's not none of the above. And Nikki Haley only got 21,199 votes. Again, we sourced the New York Times results because the late results in Nevada weren't final results at 1 a.m. They must have still been counting ballots, Dom. But Nikki Haley got doubled up, more than doubled, by none of these candidates. That makes Nikki Haley the night's biggest loser, Dom.
Well, wow. I mean, but she is also the winner because none of these candidates, which is, you know, especially on the Republican side, on the Republican primary, I absolutely endorse none of these candidates. I think none of these candidates is the best option for the GOP in Nevada. Again, Nikki Haley getting 30.5%, you know, less than half of the 63.2% of none of these candidates. But coming up, even behind that, Crudy, Mike Pence, 4%, Tim Scott, 1.4%. Of course, they've already suspended their campaigns, but they're still on the ballot in Nevada.
Well, those inconsequential figures, you know, unless you're going to go hang the former, or perhaps the latter might be a Trump candidate for VP. Not Pence, talking about Tim Scott. When questioned about his VP preferences, the two names Trump threw out very recently, Tim Scott senator from South Carolina, and Kristi Noem, who I've mentioned a few times, who allegedly is the courtesan of his former campaign manager, Corey Lewandowski, according to many conservative media sites, but she's also the power brokering governor of the state of South Dakota. Pretty woman. Trump likes him that way. You know, that'll offset all his weaknesses with the suburban women. Just a sure pretty VP will. Candidate.
Keep trying. The total turnout, I thought this was an interesting number. On the Democratic side, on the Democratic primary side, 110,000 people on total turnout. For the GOP, their total turnout was just under 70,000. So many more people on the Democratic side turning out. And my understanding is Republicans can vote in both the GOP primary and then again in the caucus. So it will be interesting. I think what that total number is in the caucus ends up being will be interesting just to statistically compare, see what kind of motivation there is on these between these different parties.
Well, again, I think that would be a hard side-by-side comparison because Donald Trump, who did not appear on the primary ballot, and the primary is run by state election officials here, so we can feel some confidence that at 1 o'clock in the morning when they started dropping these numbers with the local media, that these were coming from election officials. But this caucus tomorrow here in Nevada, Dom, and I don't know if I mentioned, but I'm in Las Vegas right now. I was here for the primary. And you wouldn't have known it was a primary. It was a very quiet day. And 100,000 people at the polls is not a huge number. But even less is the number of Republicans that showed a preference other than none of the above, none of these candidates, not Nikki Haley. So the biggest winner other than Joe Biden is probably Donald Trump last night. And he didn't even appear on the ballot. But the weakness that Nikki Haley showed in the fact that even though Trump had discouraged people from voting, had basically said, don't vote in the primary, go caucus, there were enough people that were still motivated to double up Nikki Haley with their preference for anybody else. So unless you're a never Trumper who's not going to vote for Nikki Haley and really have left yourself with no plausible options, you know, this is the strength of Trump in Nevada. And we'll probably see that.
But maybe we'll see how many people actually show up in caucus for Donald Trump. I guess that's kind of my point. If these people voted for none of these candidates when Trump wasn't on that ballot, were they doing that because Trump wasn't on the ballot?
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? And then when they go do it again, and then they should go vote for Trump.
Yes.
Or they really don't like any of the candidates, including Trump, who was not on the candidate, and Trump's caucus numbers will not be as high as perhaps he thinks. You know, that's going to have to play out. We'll know everything come Friday morning.
Well, Dom, I would just speculate because, you know, I'm not all-knowing, but I would speculate that, first and foremost, Nikki Haley, she's stuck in this race. Because even though she might be performing poorly, there's a question about whether or not her opponent's even going to be on the ballot this fall, eligible, because he's got oral arguments before the Supreme Court tomorrow. She is ranting against the party. Oh, did we mention Rona McDaniel, formerly Romney? Though she dropped that, apparently thought that was a loser name. She's out at the RNC. Trump's already taken over. His party hadn't even won the election yet. Haven't even caucused yet. But Nikki set a poor showing here in the state of Nevada. It hardly made it worth the trip, but I had a good time last night. Anyways, Dom, we'll have more fun here in Nevada. I'm staying all week. And I realize this is Mickey, not Nikki, but, you know, I butcher enough names here. Close enough for the Devil's Advocates. Crudy, live on the road from Vegas for the Love of Democracy Tour 2024.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, Lacrosse's home for Up North News.
Imagine,
Radio.
It's the final game of the season, but your symptoms of irritable bowel syndrome with constipation, or IBS-C, are making a comeback. What should you do? Keep managing your constipation with belly pain the same old way? Or try getting ahead of your symptoms by talking to your doctor about Linzess, linaclotide. Linzess is a prescription medicine that treats IBS-C in adults. It's not a laxative. It's a once-daily pill that helps you get ahead of your symptoms. It's proven to help you have more frequent and complete bowel movements and helps relieve overall abdominal symptoms, belly pain, discomfort, and bloating. These symptoms were studied in combination, not individually.
Do not give Linzess to children less than 2. It may harm them. Do not take Linzess if you have a bowel blockage. Get immediate help if
if you develop unusual or severe stomach pain, especially with bloody or black stools. The most common side effect is diarrhea, sometimes severe. If it's severe, stop taking Linzess and call your doctor right away. Other side effects include gas, stomach area pain, and swelling.
Imagine, what could relief from IBS-C mean for you? Talk to your doctor and say yes to Linzess. Learn more at Linzess.com or call 1-800-LINZESS.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, Lacrosse's home for Matinee on Air.
Le who? The her.
The Devil's Advocates, making radio great again.
And we are back from the 420 break. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. You can always join us at the political party at 844-967-2789.
Dom, I'm here in Nevada, Las Vegas specifically. The Nevada state primary happened yesterday. Joe Biden won on the Democratic side, going away about 90%, just short thereof. And Nikki Haley, 30%. None of the above, got 63% here in the primary. Donald Trump wasn't on the ballot, so those that would be Trump supportive, presumably, I'm guessing about 61 of the 63% were really voting for Trump. They weren't coming out to vote against Haley, Trump, Mike Pence, and Tim Scott, the available people to vote for, or you could choose none of these candidates. And 63% chose none of these candidates. And Dom, it was rigged. Because it didn't matter anyways. Technically, Nikki Haley can declare victory in the state of Nevada. She won the primary amongst those showing a preference for any of the candidates. She got 30% of the vote.
None of these candidates, although we love none of these candidates, cannot actually win. So yeah, Nikki Haley, last woman standing.
Sort of. Because the party here in the state of Nevada, the Republican Party specifically, they rigged the election. And they made a winner-takes-all delegate process here in a caucus that'll happen tomorrow night. And Donald Trump's team basically took over the state party and tipped the scales and thought a caucus would benefit the man. You know, because that takes real effort, Dom. It takes real effort to go out and caucus. You got to show up at a specific place at a specific time. You got to have your voter ID. No universal balloting like they have here in Nevada. Not in the rigged presidential primary GOP caucus that'll happen tomorrow night, Dom. And Nikki Haley, despite winning the state, here's the headline at the Raw story, one of my favorite sources. Nikki Haley slams her own party after being humiliated in Nevada. Well, that just sounds like sour grapes, but let me read. I want to get to a couple of her quotes because she is very candid here. After she finished second to none of these candidates in the Nevada primary, Dom, just a side note, that makes her a loser. That is losing. But anyways, where Donald Trump was not listed on the ballot, Nikki Haley slammed her own party as chaotic. Yeah, it's their fault.
I agree with that.
Here's a quote, Dom. Republicans keep doing the same thing and getting the same result. Chaos. That's the definition of insanity, she wrote, saying the RNC imploded. The GOP House can't pass anything. We'll get to that soon, Dom. And Trump lost another court case and threw another temper tantrum. Dom, according to the New York Times, Jasmine Ulloa, Haley's rant is the latest break between Miss Haley and her party as she looks to take a more adversarial stance towards Donald Trump. Welcome to our world, Nikki.
A little too late, Nikki.
Yeah, a little too late. Despite her poor performance in Nevada, Haley will be named winner of the contest anyways, since only votes cast for the named candidates shall be counted. But according to Ulloa, the result denied her a much-needed symbolic victory. Miss Haley has continued to project confidence, saying that she will stay in the race until Super Tuesday on March 5th, but she remains far behind Mr. Trump in most state and national polls. In South Carolina, where she was governor, and where the primary is being held on February 24th, she's trailing Trump by roughly 30 points. In California, Super Tuesday state, where she is set to appear at a rally today, she's down by more than 50. Woo. And, Dom, as mentioned, I did request an interview with Governor Haley, or perhaps a surrogate from her campaign here in Nevada, and they claim they basically, not specifically to me, but more broadly, that they put zero resources and zero money in winning the state of Nevada. And I'm thinking, well, you should have. You could have had a moral victory. You could have had a media victory. You could have not been humiliated by this rigged process, but instead you were.
Or she knew the writing on the wall and knew this wasn't going to happen. And why spend the money when you're not going to get a return and there's zero chance to get any delegates? So, I mean, it's certainly a tough spot.
But she's rallying in California, where she's down by 50 today, and they aren't holding a primary for a month, Dom. So explain the logic.
But it's close. Nevada's close to California. There's your logic, man. Come on. Let's see. The RealClearPolling.com, a list of all the different polls out there, reporting Morning Consult today. The South Carolina Republican presidential primary has Trump up 37, not the 30 that you referenced in that New York Times piece from the Raw story. And I would also point out another thing. What Nikki Haley has been saying over the course of these last few contests. You know, she started in Iowa and was at, 20-some percent, right? Surprised everyone. It's going to get 2 and I got 20. And I just want to do better. All I want to do is do better. Goes to New Hampshire, gets over 40%. All I want to do is do better. Then gets her ass handed to her in Nevada, falling back down. So I'm wondering what's the new
spin? It's the party's fault.
What's the new angle? But again, given all the headwinds that Donald Trump is facing politically, certainly personally, what's her downside for staying in the race?
Well, I don't think there is a downside for Nikki Haley. They are going to need a candidate, in case of emergency break glass kind of candidate. I mean, hell, the Supreme Court of the United States hearing oral arguments tomorrow whether or not Donald Trump should even qualify to be on the ballot. And while they could limit the scope just to the question of Colorado, so many state elections officials from around the nation are begging the Supreme Court for clarity. So first and foremost, if he's off the ballot, game over for Trump. You need Nikki Haley then. Suddenly she is your nominee because she's right. The only qualified candidate you've still got who hasn't yet suspended their campaign. So I know why she's staying in the race. How can you not want to stay in the race under that circumstance? And of course, Rona McDaniel out. She's out at the RNC. Apparently she's going to stay in through South Carolina? Like another week and a half, something like that. Thank you for your service. They're way behind in the fundraising. They got a party in chaos. And here's the craziest thing, Tom. Donald Trump, I don't see how he survives the litigation against him, right? We've talked about this. Whether it's dequalifying him or disqualifying him from the ballot, or the fact that he's a convicted felon between here and the election day, which would certainly undermine some of the enthusiasm, let's just say, for Trump's candidacy, except the most MAGA Republicans. And we do have new polling out of the state of Wisconsin today. We'll bring Charles Franklin on in the Happier Happy Hour. It's coming about an hour from now, and we'll go inside the numbers with him. We'll see what the enthusiasm is. But right now in the state of Wisconsin, just speaking specifically to the Marquette polling, the enthusiasm for Trump is way higher than it is for Joe Biden. Those that love Trump love Trump's ass. That's their man. They'll go vote in a primary on a Tuesday in Nevada in the rain and cold weather when there's all kinds of stuff going on, like a Super Bowl this week. And they'll go vote none of these candidates just to give the middle finger to Nikki Haley. I got to admire that in some way, shape, or form. Those are some loyal people. I mean, that's a cult, man.
Trump loves the loyalty. I just don't know that it's going to continue with all the challenges that he has.
Dom, I often heard you say the GOP is a party in disarray. Now you got some sources. Yeah. We'll talk about that on the other side. The House, the impeachment blunder, and Mike Johnson. It's not our fault.
Oh, whose fault is it? It's everybody else.
This is your hometown radio, Refreshed. Keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network. This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Wildfires could be a problem in Wisconsin this spring. The Department of Natural Resources says warm weather and a lack of snow will likely make conditions dry this spring. The DNR says Wisconsin has already had one small wildfire. That was Saturday in Fairchild near Eau Claire. New farmers trying to get their operations started in Wisconsin are learning about leasing land. Kelly Wilfert is a farm management outreach specialist with the University of Wisconsin Extension.
Land is very expensive when you're competing against farmers who have assets already built up that they can leverage in order to afford that land.
Wilfert says leasing land allows new farmers to invest money in equipment. About a third of all farmland in Wisconsin is leased. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now, here's what you need to know closer to home.
For 1490 Media News, I'm Jimmy Kuska.
Here's what's happening in
Southwestern
Wisconsin.
The La Crosse School Board will likely be putting its school consolidation decision on November ballots. The district is facing a $3.5 million budget shortfall and intends to move two of its existing elementary schools into one new facility. The two scenarios the board is debating would be closing Hinchin or Emerson Elementary, as well as Spence. In either case, a new school would be on the ballot this fall. The board said it could decide as soon as in 2 weeks and plans on having the referendum question ready by April. The Wisconsin DNR has updated its fish consumption guidelines statewide. The guidelines explain how much fish caught in Wisconsin waters is safe to eat due to water pollution.
The advisory includes updates to the La Crosse River, which now has a PFAS advisory in place in Monroe and La Crosse counties.
You can see the guidelines on the DNR's website. The most common pollution found in Wisconsin waters includes mercury, PCBs, and PFAS.
For WLCX, I'm Jimmy Kuska.
You can live out your MasterChef dreams when you find a professional on Angie to tackle your dream kitchen remodel. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
I'm Pete with a 60-second Showbiz Beat. Super Bowl week is one big party, and it seems like every year there is a high-profile DWI. This year is no different. Patrick Mahomes' father, Patrick Mahomes Sr., was arrested for DWI over the weekend in Texas. Mahomes Sr. was also cited for driving under the influence in 2018 and 2019 and actually served 40 days in jail. In 2021, Britt Reid, son of Chiefs coach Andy Reid, was driving drunk and severely injured a 5-year-old girl after hitting her family's car. Reid was sentenced to 3 years in prison. Speaking of the Super Bowl, FanDuel is re-editing a Super Bowl commercial that featured Carl Weathers, who recently passed away. The spot featured Weathers, a former NFL player turned actor, as an Apollo Creed-type character who coaches Rob Gronkowski. FanDuel says they are doing it out of respect for the family. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, every night between 8 and 10 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Mostly cloudy today, but still very warm. We've got breezy winds out of the south gusting up to 25 miles per hour, pumping in high temperatures reaching the mid-50s. Record highs for today are 54 degrees, set back in 1878. It's 46 degrees at our studios.
It's a unique opportunity to ask your questions during the Earl Ingram Show on Friday, February 9th.
The United States Senator Ron Johnson is going to be joining us here in the studio. He's going to spend an hour as we have some open dialogue. Phone lines are going to be open. We'll take some phone calls.
Join Earl and U.S. Senator Ron Johnson Friday, February 9th. The Earl Ingram Show, mornings from 8 to 10, here on your local Civic Media radio station and streaming on the Civic Media app.
News talk for Homan, Onalaska, and of course, La Crosse. Eagle 1490 WLCX, the talk of La Crosse.
I don't know if you know the Devil's Advocates, but the show is kind of a big deal.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show Wednesday, Big Loser Edition. And I don't mean us. We're the winners here. You're all winners. You're listening to the winners. winners, we get to do what we want. I'm checking the text line. You know, you can use the Civic Media app to text us directly, and I get it on my phone, or you can use the traditional number to call or text 844-967-2789. But here are a couple of examples. Is Crudy still in Vegas? Asked Jeff from Shorewood. Yes, I am. I'm right here at the MGM Grand Signature at 19th floor, looking out at the Sphere. And then he says, what a scam. None of the above wins the primary, and Trump unopposed in a private caucus. I'm thinking he's there for hookers and blow. Jeff, I would say, don't forget the Super Bowl. One more here. Andrew from Verona texts in on the WMDX line. My interpretation of last night's Nevada results, the GOP is in disarray. You would agree with that assessment, wouldn't you?
It's not just me, Crudy. The reporting this morning, as I got up and it was still dark, I'd flip open the computer and open all my news tabs. It was overwhelming, the reporting on how much disarray the Republican Party is in.
What was the New York Times headline? I know you posted it. Let me see if I can find it quick. Dysfunction reigns in Congress as the GOP defeats Multiply. And what was the quote you posted?
Taken together, the events that unfolded on Capitol Hill on Tuesday offered a vivid portrait of congressional disarray instigated by Republicans who are bent on opposing President Biden at every turn, but lack a large enough majority or the unity to work their will.
Now,
it's not me, man. The New York Times is saying they're in disarray.
Let's give our audience a little reminder. Maybe they were, you know, busy traveling to Vegas yesterday or something, Dom. But there was a House impeachment vote, and this was over the big border issue that apparently has unraveled the Senate bipartisan border deal. That, my understanding, but we'll see. But they are going to impeach the Department of Homeland Security chairman, a cabinet secretary, Joe Biden's, Alejandro Mayorkas. Or at least that was the goal, Dom. Now, they didn't have a clear rationale or reason for impeaching the man, other than not liking the open borders policies of Joe Biden.
Yeah, no high crimes or misdemeanors, nothing impeachable. I mean, if you want to start impeaching people because you don't like the policies that they are enforcing, well, then it could become a problem in the future.
Well, we know they lost the George Santos, right? They haven't had the special election there yet. And Steve Scalise, the House whip, apparently he's out receiving some medical care, and there was some question about whether or not one of the Democrats, Green from Texas, I believe, whether or not he'd be able to attend. The Democrats, they played a little coy on this issue, Dom. So the Republicans did their math, and they went to the floor, and they lost. And Mike Gallagher, a congressman from the state of Wisconsin, was one of the dissenting votes. But let's get to some of the sound from the speaker, Dom. I think he captures the essence of all things wrong with this party.
Let's start with the, you have lots of comments on here. Let's start with the foreign aid cut. Number one, please, Nate.
We'll see what the Senate does. We're allowing the process to play out, and we'll handle it as it is sent over. I have made very clear that you have to address these issues on their own merits.
But it was my understanding the House killed the Israeli aid, right? The $17 billion? That
also
was defeated
correct by
a House vote. That's what he's referencing, but please continue.
Let's hear some more. Speaker Johnson, democracy is messy. Cut to.
Last night was a setback, but democracy is messy. We live in a time of divided government. We have a razor-thin margin here, and every vote counts.
Yeah, divided government, but what about divided Republican Party? I mean, you guys couldn't legislate or govern your way out of a wet paper bag. You can't even get your own ducks in a row.
Is there more a mega mic to the speaker?
Steady hands. Yeah, three more. Let's play cut three, please.
We have steady hands at the wheel. We'll get through it. Everybody take a deep breath. It's a long game. We're going to get the job done.
Didn't we just go through Groundhog Day? Don't drive angry.
Thelma and Louise were steady at the wheel, too. They went over the cliff.
That had a setting just outside of Vegas, didn't it?
But let's let's put the blame where it matters most. With all those bums in Congress, certainly not a reflection of the leadership. Cut four.
I don't think that this is a reflection on the leader. It's a reflection on the body itself and the place where we've come in this country. Look, the nation is divided. We lament that, right? The difference is the chasm between the two parties right now is wider than it's ever been.
If it's not the leader's fault, who decided to bring the vote? Well, it was you, MAGA Mike. You're the speaker. You decide the flow of the traffic on the congressional floor, whether or not an impeachment vote, a historic once-in-150-year impeachment of a cabinet secretary with no discernible evidence that would suggest high crimes or misdemeanors, but that didn't stop you. And, oh yeah, you also got to blame the Democrats because they were totally transparent about the health of one of their members, and they didn't expect to see him, and he showed up, and it's their fault. They blame the Dems.
Like hospital garb and a wheelchair to cast the vote. We'll get to some more of that. Final cut from Speaker Johnson. Cut five, please.
Sometimes when you're counting votes and people show up when they're not expected to be in the building, it changes the equation. But listen, we have a duty and a responsibility to take care of this issue. We have to hold the Secretary of the Department of Homeland Security accountable.
You know, you act like it's a Super Bowl injury report and their lack of transparency about whether or not one of their members would be in the congressional IR chamber. This is very unethical by the Democrats blocking our ridiculous and not founded upon any evidence impeachment charade, our kabuki theater, and you blocked it. How dare you?
We do have some sound from Hakeem Jeffries, but I want to throw out there a few paragraphs from The Washington Post. We talked about Congressman from Green Bay, Wisconsin, Mike Gallagher. Well, he was part of the problem, if you listen to Marjorie Taylor Greene. Then we'll get to some Hakeem Jeffries. Just bear with me, folks. Moments before the vote to impeach Mayorkas on Tuesday evening, a chaotic scene unfolded on the House floor. And they're in disarray, did you know? The vote had unexpectedly come to a tie after three Republican lawmakers bucked party lines to vote against the measure. Two of the lawmakers had previously said publicly that they would not support the measure, citing lack of evidence that Mayorkas had committed high crimes and misdemeanors. But a third, Rep. Mike Gallagher from the great state of Wisconsin, had stayed mum about how he would vote hours after warning his GOP colleagues behind closed doors that impeaching the first cabinet secretary in 150 years would open Pandora's box. Gallagher ultimately voted no, which Republican leaders accepted, since they could lose three votes to launch the first impeachment of the 118th Congress. But minutes later, the vote arrived at a 215-215 tie, an unexpected turn of events that stunned the House floor into a standstill. Soon, the Wisconsin Republican was swarmed on the House floor by his colleagues, who engaged in an apparent last-ditch attempt to change his mind. Rep. Marjorie Taylor Greene, who has tried multiple times to force the House to expedite impeaching Mayorkas, was spotted shouting at Gallagher. She was soon joined by Rep. Mark Green, the chairman of the Homeland Security Committee, who spearheaded the investigation into Mayorkas. Another couple Republicans then tried to persuade Gallagher to flip his vote. He did not. As the vote stayed open after time had expired, Democrats shouted, "Order, order," in unison to bring the tied vote to a close. Gallagher stood listening with his arms folded across his chest as he intermittently gesticulated and shook his head. He was unmoved. He was unmoved, Crudy. So this is what the Republicans are dealing with. Now, Hakeem Jeffries, the minority leader in the House, he has some comments on this issue as well. Let's play cut number six, if you would please, Nate. We should all work together.
This is a period of divided government, which means common sense dictates that in order to get things done on behalf of the American people, Democrats and Republicans should be working together.
Yes, that would make sense, especially in divided government. What do you think? What would it take for that to happen? Cut seven, please.
American people deserve more common sense, less chaos, less confusion, and less cult-like behavior.
I mean,
they want more cult-like behavior, Dom.
Just a few more from Jeffrey's National Security Cut 8.
It's time to put the political stunts aside and to come together as Democrats and Republicans so we can support America's national security interests, our military readiness, along with our allies throughout the world, including Israel, Ukraine, and in the Indo-Pacific.
But you need willing partners on both sides. You know, Michael, Jeffries also addressing some of these issues, not responsibility, cut nine.
It's not our responsibility to let House Republicans know which members will or will not be present on the House floor on any other day or in connection with any given vote.
What's he referencing? The fact that they were silent about one of their congressional caucus, Green, Democrat, whether or not he was going to attend. And here is what Marjorie Taylor Greene had to say in response to the strategy that killed their efforts to impeach Mayorkas. We can all basically look at this as a game, unfortunately, in their strategy, and they hid one of their members, waiting to the last minute, watching to see our votes, trying to throw us off on the numbers and we had versus the numbers they had. That was a strategy at play tonight. Yes, it was, ma'am, and you lost. You're a loser, just like your party, just like your speaker, just like your, well, the list is long. I let you continue.
But, you know, the Democrats, they have a right to vote or not vote if someone comes in or doesn't come in. You know, Jeffrey said it. It's not their responsibility to lay down the numbers or the speaker. That's their job. You figure that out. You think you got
it? He wasn't on the injury report.
Right. You think you got it, then you go for it. And you thought you had it, and you didn't, and you lost. That's why you're losers, because you lost. A few more from Jeffries. GOP is my way or the highway, Limp Bizkit style, cut 10.
The lesson from yesterday's continued chaos, dysfunction, and extremism is that the Republican my way or the highway approach is not going to work. Period. Full stop.
No, it's not, and it didn't, and it won't. Two more. Cut number 11, please. The strategy seems to be backfiring.
They want to use the border as an electoral issue in November, and that's going to backfire. The Republicans thought they set a border trap for Democrats, and they fell into it themselves.
I hate when I fall into my own bear trap, or donkey trap in this case.
Minority leader in the House, the height of cynicism. Cut 12, please, Nate.
This is extraordinary. This is the height of cynicism. Once again, they are embracing chaos and walking away from common sense.
And getting nothing done except what? I mean, thankfully, we have there's obviously lots of chaos in the world right now. You imagine if we had to rely on the House Republicans to actually get something done, if something terrible happened? I mean, I have absolutely no confidence that they can round up their own members to do anything to actually help this country. All they do is sycophant and do anything that Donald Trump wants them to do that is not serving the American people, and it's certainly not working out for them.
Well, Dom, keeping the government open is what got the last Republican Speaker of the House fired. Do you remember Kevin McCarthy?
Who? The new RNC chair?
Oh, that would be an interesting choice. Is he being mentioned? Is he being bantered?
I could see some banter about that. I mean, the guy can raise money, and that's what, you know, you really need to do in that position. But, you know, who knows?
Ron McDaniel apparently going to be out as the RNC chairperson. I can't imagine why. They've got such strength going into this election year. Fat coffers and strong candidates and so many legislative accomplishments to run on. Come back. We'll talk about whether or not this affects the RNC, the big party in Milwaukee, Dom, because, you know, it's all about the party. 844-96-PARTY. Stick around.
I think I'm going. This is the talk of La Crosse. Eagle 1490 AM. Covering all the news that affects you with humor and a unique perspective. Matinair on Air with Jane Matinair. Weekdays 10 till noon on the talk of La Crosse. Eagle 1490 AM WLCX and on the Civic Media app.
I'm Earl Ingram. It's Black History Month. I'm honored to welcome some special guests to talk about it. Professor Bob Harvey will be here this Thursday, February 8th from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. We'll discuss Black history like only Professor Bob Harvey can. And you can be part of the conversation, too.
Don't miss the Earl Ingram Show with special guests throughout Black History Month here on your local Civic Media radio station and streaming on the Civic Media app. Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
The Devil's Advocates know how to kick ass and chew bubblegum, and we're all out of bubblegum.
Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Your calls, your thoughts, always welcome here at 844-967-2789.
Dominic, I am sporting the Summer Lovin' Tour 2021 t-shirt. This was the original tour, but I am on the For the Love of Democracy Tour 2024. I want to thank Hawk for sponsoring the last one, at least the t-shirts and the parties at the fine neighborhood bars around Madison and Hawks. But this year, we're doing the For the Love of Democracy Tour. Thank you to our fine sponsor, Chad's Design Build, Chad Spate and his crew. Thank you. And they've put me here in Las Vegas, Dom, because it's the most important place to be this week. You know, the Super Bowl aside, there is a primary and there is a caucus. And, you know, apparently there's a reason for me to be here beyond the blow in the cooker, hookers, despite the protestations that Jeff from Shorewood can't be here to indulge himself. I understand we might have callers that want to join us, Dom. 844-967-2789. It's a big loser Wednesday edition, but if you stick around, you're going to hear nothing but winners in the happy hour. We've got our good friend, former U.S. Attorney James Santel. We'll talk about the imminent SCOTUS. You know, SCOTUS is going to hear oral arguments on whether or not Trump can remain on the ballot. That'll be at 5:05. Well, the oral arguments are tomorrow, but our experts joining us at 5:05, James Santel, and later in the happy hour, Dom, Charles Franklin, pollster extraordinaire, Marquette University Law School poll, will go inside the numbers. We'll get a snapshot of the Wisconsin electoral sentiment in real time. And, of course, we'll take your calls, 844-967-2789.
We'll get your sentiment right now. We will start with Bill from Grant County. Welcome, Bill. What do you got for us?
Hey, Bill.
Yeah, hey, how you guys doing?
Pretty cool. I'm doing very well.
Good to hear from you, and I appreciate the monologue, my man. I see our man Slow Joe again on the news. He referenced to French President Mitterrand as...
That's the best you got today, Bill.
Yes, yeah, I heard that, Bill.
That's much, much worse than accusing, what, Nikki Haley of being Nancy Pelosi? I mean, you know, your guy kind of misspoke recently as well, Bill. Is this what we're going to do? Trade misspeaks between Biden and Trump until Election Day?
No, I'm not saying that, but just give me a little bit of chance here. Now, this guy is a leader of the so-called free world, and he's talking to a president who has been dead since 1996. Really, come on, man.
I suspect he was speaking to Macron, not Mitterrand, because Macron is the current president, and I suspect that your guy wouldn't know who Mitterrand was.
Right. Now, Bill, to Crudy's point, I appreciate, you know, we can all criticize misspeaks, but do you acknowledge that former President Trump has made similar comments, calling Nikki Haley Nancy Pelosi, saying he's running against Barack Obama, and talking about World War II? Bill, I mean, do you recognize that Donald Trump has some of those same issues?
Well, I mean, being 78 years old, I'm sure he's got some issues as well. We all do, you know. But
speak for yourself, Bill. Teasing, I tease. Please continue.
He's not the current president, but he will be, and we'll all be better off.
Well, I don't know about that, Bill, but, you know, keep your fingers crossed. We appreciate you tuning in and hanging out with us. 844-967-2789. Joe from Madison, you're up. Welcome, Joe. What do you got for us?
Hey, Joe.
A pretty amazing day yesterday. I thought it was hysterical. And, Bill, take a good long look at the Republicans' incredible debacle yesterday at not even being able to count the votes before their big old impeachment that they were going to do against Mayorkas. I thought that was one of the most hysterical moments in Congress, the fact that they didn't even think about the fact that Green could leave the hospital. They didn't even bother to figure that out. They just assumed. And one of the things that Nancy Pelosi was always known for was counting the votes. You do not put your people on the floor unless you got it nailed down. And there was Speaker Johnson asleep at the wheel, another Republican asleep at the wheel. And so you had this debacle of this, you know, that was the Green Deal made a debacle of that vote. And then you had the standalone vote where it was just Israel aid that was voted down. I mean, the guy, it was like nutball in order. And then I thought the fact that the most conservative immigration bill that we have had in decades and the Republicans have killed it. It's amazing they had gotten in that immigration bill what they wanted, and still they won't take it. They're talking about dropping all legal immigration, that's what they want to have. It's an amazing time, and here we are talking about whether Joe Biden mispronounced or Trump mispronounced somebody's name. Come on, people. We have things to figure out in terms of how our allies see us and what we're doing in terms of immigration. And this is what we're talking about, is whether Joe Biden or Trump are mispronouncing someone's names. I don't know. I find it kind of amazing. So my two cents on the subject. Thanks, guys.
If you appreciate your call, but if you stick around until our friend Charles Franklin, the Marquette University Law School poll, fresh off the presses, he'll go inside the numbers. And you'll be surprised, I think, as a Biden supportive, by how many Wisconsinites think that Joe Biden isn't up to the task. Like 61% of Wisconsinites say Joe's getting old. But only like 27% have the same perception of Trump. And they're very similar in age, and Trump is not exactly a rocket scientist when he's out there on the stump these days. He has slipped as well. So, Joe, I think you might be surprised. And I think that Bill and... got a few messages in on the last caller. Bill, you know, what's he smoking? I want some of that. Well, I can tell you that what Bill is espousing is also what many Wisconsinites believe. There is a sentiment that Donald Trump's going to win the state of Wisconsin, that Donald Trump's going to be reelected president, and it's shown in the Marquette University Law School numbers today. They are somewhat troubling if you go beyond the top line, which is Biden is beating Trump within the margin of error. But that's not a lot to hang your hat on when you see the enthusiasm gap. And most of Wisconsin, or at least a higher percentage, a plurality of Wisconsinites, think Trump's going to win the presidency.
Trump might not even be on the ballot, so we'll have to wait and see. And thank you for the call, Joel. And with reference to Speaker Johnson and the chaos and the disarray that Republicans are going through, I saw something on the social media today that it's really Nancy Pelosi's fault. Because she made it look so easy.
I was going to ask Joe, do you ever see Nancy Pelosi screw up a vote on anything? Like, didn't have the votes? Do you ever see her get embarrassed, have a defeated impeachment vote against some Republican president? Because I don't recall that ever happening. She's much better than you will ever hope to be, MAGA Mike Johnson. Devil's Advocates getting better. We got James Santel, former U.S. attorney. Stick around. It's going to be a fine, happier, happy hour.
The Mississippi to our left, Granddad on the right. We're right in the middle. Eagle 1490 WLCX, the talk of La Crosse. Did you know this local radio station is part of Civic Media? Learn more about the entire network at civicmedia.us.
Valentine's Day is here. This year, give the ultimate gift. Name a star after your sweetheart. This is Rocky Moselle with International Star Registry. For 45 years, we've named millions of stars for celebrities, dignitaries, and individuals worldwide. For $59 and a call to 800-282-3333 or visit starregistry.com, you can give the most memorable gift. The star you name will be recorded in book form in the U.S. Copyright Office. Visit starregistry.com or call 800-282-3333.
Soaring high above La Crosse, this is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
AB